Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We come now to the end of this series on countercultural Christianity. And last week we considered the doctrine of hell. So many within society and even the church are losing the doctrine of hell because they view it as a mean-spirited teaching that goes against what they believe God should be like. This week we conclude the series by considering how God truly is in providing a way of salvation from the fires of hell. So with that in mind, please give your attention to the reading of God's Word from John chapter 14, and we'll be reading verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word, and let us once again go to Him in prayer. O Lord, we come unto Thee and we are thankful for this Word which Thou hast given us. We are thankful for the Word which has been kept pure through all ages, providentially preserved by Thy hand. O Lord, we are thankful that we are given the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ. That we do not have to search these things out for ourselves, but Thou hast revealed them to us in Thy Word. O Lord, we ask Thy blessing would be upon us as we hear this Word proclaimed to us this day. Feed us and nourish us and strengthen us with Thy Word. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We live in a society today in which everyone wants to go to heaven, but they don't want what it takes to get there. There are countless of religions out there, and every one of them claims to be the correct one. Many people would say that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're a good person, then you'll find happiness after this life. This is the mentality that so many people have, and it comes out most clearly when a loved one dies. So many times you hear someone say that their loved one is in heaven when nothing about their life even hints at them being saved. But this is the mentality that seems to be the default in the sinful heart, that it doesn't matter what you believe, you can find salvation. Universalism has become the de facto religion of this age. Religious pluralism has become the de facto position of this age. And to argue against it is to go against the hive mind of society and to be deemed a closed-minded bigot. Yet, if we were to take a look at what the Word of God teaches, you'll quickly see that there is no room for religious pluralism for those who believe. There is no salvation that is to be found outside of that which Jehovah has provided in His Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot be a Christian and a universalist at the same time. No matter how much culture will try to tell you that it's unloving to hold to an exclusive view of salvation. The Word of God is clear on this matter, and we as the church must be as well. In Acts chapter 4 and verses 10 through 12, we see this crystal clear. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And here in our text this afternoon, we see it in the very words from the mouth of Christ Jesus himself. So we'll take up this theme of salvation, and we will do so by considering four heads. First, the way of salvation. Next, the truth of salvation. Then the life of salvation. And finally, the end of salvation. So let us first consider the way of salvation. Christ Jesus says, "I am the way." Here we have one of the great "I am" sayings of Christ. He's saying, all you need to get to heaven is me. I am all that you need to get to God's eternal home. I am the way. Christ is the perfect Savior who provides a complete and full and finished salvation. That's exactly what Christ says. To reach the perfect place, to reach heaven, God's home, to reach that place that is holy and pure and completely perfect, you need a perfect Savior who can provide a complete salvation. And Christ is the perfect Savior who provides a perfect salvation. Christ is the path that leads to heaven. He's the way of salvation. He is the highway or the road into the Father's house. Sinful man needs a path into heaven because his sin has brought him separation from God. His sin has caused God to turn his face away from him. Man in sin is barred from heaven. Scripture makes this very clear. Revelation 21:27 tells us concerning heaven, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." Nothing can enter into heaven that is defiled by sin. Absolutely nothing. Sin cannot enter into heaven. We can say that the gates or the doors to heaven are shut to every sin. They're shut to every sinner. That has to be understood clearly. Heaven's doors, heaven's gates are shut to every sin and every man, shut to every sinner. And so this leaves man, fallen and sinful man, on the outside, barred from God's holy dwelling place, barred from God's presence, because heaven is shut up to sin and sinners. God makes this very clear. Nothing that defiles, absolutely nothing that defiles, can enter in. And so sin cannot enter in because sin defiles. And no sinner can enter in because sinners defile. From the time that God drove our first parents out of the garden. We've needed a path back to Him. We've needed a way to enter again into His presence because heaven is closed to the sinner. And so Christ is saying, I am the way. I am the path into God's presence. By me and through me, sinful man can enter into God's heaven and dwell in His courts. Christ is our path to heaven. Christ is the fulfillment of Isaiah 35, 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Christ is the way of salvation, and this way is open. Remember what Christ said to His disciples in verse 2 of John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Christ is speaking of how He is going to do something which would open heaven up for His people. What was Christ going to do in order to prepare a place for His people? Well, Christ at this point was making His way to the cross. That's what He was doing. He was going to the place called Calvary. He was going to the place where He would suffer and where He would die and where He would shed His blood for His people. He was going away to prepare a place by offering His life as a sacrifice to God to make atonement, to shed His blood, to open heaven for His people. He was going to suffer in their stead. Heaven was closed to sin and sinners, but Christ, our sinless Savior, what did He do? He took His sinless life. He took His perfect life, His life of righteousness, and there He laid down that life upon the cross. And so Christ has opened a way for His people. He satisfied the demands of a holy God, and an opening was made into His presence. He is the one that has opened up at great cost to Himself the way of salvation for us. He is the one that has opened up the way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And so to despise the work of Christ, to despise the way that He has opened up for us by rejecting Him is the worst of sins. You do this by continuing on in your sin. You do this by refusing to humble yourselves before God and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You do this by rejecting Christ. Christ is the way. The way has been opened, and to reject that way, to go your own way, is a path which leads straight to hell. Christ is the only way. He's the only way. See what our text says. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ could not have made it any simpler or any clearer. No man is able to enter in but by Christ. J.C. Ryle comments, it avails nothing that a man is clever, learned, highly gifted, amiable, charitable, kind-hearted, and zealous about some sort of religion. All this will not save his soul if he does not draw near to God by Christ's atonement and make use of God's own Son as his mediator and Savior. there's only one way of salvation, and that is Christ Jesus. So many will come and they will consider the simple message of the gospel, and then they'll turn away and be confused by the imaginations and the foolishness of human reasoning. Will that be you? Or will you follow the only way of salvation, which is Christ Jesus, the Savior of mankind? But not only is Christ the way of salvation, He is the truth of salvation. The only way any person can know real and saving truth is by knowing Jesus Christ. That must be emphasized. The only way any person can know real and saving truth is by knowing Jesus Christ. You don't have the truth unless Christ is your Savior. Unless you know Him personally as your own Savior and Lord and Redeemer, you don't have truth if you don't know Him. Consider 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How does God shine into our darkened hearts? How does He give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God? He does it in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how God gives men understanding. That's how God leads men to the truth. He does it in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's only through Jesus that we can receive the truth. Only in His face. Only by knowing Him personally, knowing Him as our Savior, that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God can be that which fills our hearts. You may know many things. You may be very intelligent. You may be well educated. You may be well read and have much committed to memory. But at the end of the day, there's only one way that you can know the truth. There's only one way that you can know saving truth. Truth which really matters, and that's by knowing the One who says, "I am the truth." F.B. Meyer says, "If you know nothing else and know Christ intimately and fully, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you love truth and are a child of the truth, you will be inevitably attracted to Christ and recognize the truth that speaks through His glorious nature. He that is of the truth heareth my voice." Friends, through being united to Christ, you are given the vast sea of knowledge of the truth that is only found in Him. Every other religion may claim to be guardians of the truth, but we know that they are of their father, the devil, and they are liars. Be sanctified by the truth, which is the Word of God. Matthew Henry writes, "As truth is opposed to falsehood and error, the doctrine of Christ is true doctrine. When we inquire for truth, we need learn no more than the truth as it is in Jesus." Inquire for the truth. The more time that you spend in the Word of God, the more you will come to a greater knowledge and understanding of the truth. It's not philosophy. It's not science textbooks. It's not mystical journeys which will lead you to the truth. It's the Word of God alone that will do so. To know and to possess Christ is to have His Word, that wisdom of God enshrined in the most sacred possession of the heart. God has spoken to us. God has revealed Himself in Scripture. What a privilege it is to have the Word of God. Because God has truly condescended to speak to us. It is the greatest of privileges to plunge the depths of His Word and to seek out the truth which He has laid before us. So I ask you, friend, are you seeking the truth which can only be found in Christ Jesus? The way of salvation is made known through the revealing of Christ in the Word. And without this truth of salvation, you will be utterly lost. Have you found and embraced the truth of salvation? And no, this is not something which ends once you come to Christ. You ought to be continually feasting upon that truth, as we saw in our sermon this morning, for it is the nourishment of your soul. Seek the truth. Find the truth. Embrace the truth. Christ Jesus is the truth. Christ is the way of salvation, the truth of salvation, and also the life of salvation. Disobedience brought man into a state of death. God had warned Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil under penalty of death. The Lord said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die," Genesis 2:17. Adam rebelled and sinned, and death entered his soul. That death meant that Adam now was completely incapable to earn his place in heaven. He couldn't earn his place in heaven because he was a dying soul. In his original state, Adam could have earned by his own works a place in God's heaven. Adam could have earned by his own works heaven, but he didn't obey. Instead, he sinned and he rebelled against God, and death entered into his soul. And from that point forward, he became a dying soul. Adam's sin brought death and left him and his children in this miserable position of having no strength or power, no spiritual life in its natural state, no ability to walk the path which leads to heaven, to follow the way of salvation. That's where sinful man finds himself. He doesn't have life. He doesn't have the ability to walk the path of heaven. If man is to enter God's heaven, he needs life. He needs spiritual life. When Christ says, "I am the life," He's telling us that He is the one alone who can give life to the sinner so that he may enter into the Father's house. Friends, this is why you need Christ. This is why you need Him. The one who said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly," John 10, verse 10. Christ is our life. What does John 3:16 say? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Without Christ, it is impossible to enter into God's heaven. Think again of the final words of our text. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's speaking about how we cannot enter into God's presence but through Christ. And these words also convey the truth that no man has the ability, has the strength, has the power to enter into God's presence. We need the life of Christ. We need His Spirit to indwell us and regenerate us. That's what we all need. The life of salvation. Sinners, we must recognize that our own utter powerlessness, and we must cast ourselves upon the One who is the life, who has come that we might have life. Calvin says, if any man turn aside from Christ, he will do nothing but go astray. If any man do not rest on Him, he will feed elsewhere on nothing but wind and vanity. If any man not satisfied with Him alone wishes to go farther, he will find death instead of life. Come to the One who gives life, who is Himself the wellspring of life. This passage not only reminds us all that is found in Christ, all that He is to us, and all that He does for us, the way, the truth, and the life, but it also reminds us of all that we are without Him. We're lost and out of the way. We're in darkness. We don't have the truth. We're dead. We don't have the life. That's what this text reminds us of. It teaches the great reality that we need Christ. We need Christ to save us. We need Christ to rescue us. We need Christ to come and to change us and deliver us and to bring us unto Himself. That's what we need. And my dear friend, if you are outside of Christ, that's exactly what you need to see. That's exactly what you need to see and where you need to come to. Come to the place where you will see and recognize that you need Christ, and then call upon Him. Seek Him earnestly. Seek Him sincerely. Acknowledge your need as a poor, lost, dark, and dead sinner. Say, Christ, I want You to be my way of salvation. I want You to be my truth of salvation. I want You to be my life of salvation. I want You to take me to the Father's house. And if you cannot say that in your heart today, then you're walking down the path that leads to hell, where there is darkness and destruction forever, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. What a Savior you have in Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I trust that you will take hold of Christ this day and you will make Him your Savior and your Lord. Move from death to life, for He is the life of salvation. And finally, I want us to close by getting a glimpse of that glory which awaits you if you trust in Christ alone. Let us consider the end of salvation. Christ says, no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Friends, this is the end of salvation. It's the goal of salvation, coming unto the Father. In Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5, we get the clearest picture of what this blessed eternal state will be like. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be any more pain." God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Where we saw last week that hell is being separated from the immense goodness and mercy and love of God, here we see that heaven is the opposite, that it's dwelling in the blessed, glorious presence of the Almighty forever. What a glorious reality it is that the tabernacle of God will be with men, and we will dwell with him. There will be nothing which separates us from Jehovah, and we will bask in the radiance of his glory forever. Ted Donnelly writes, "Heaven is where God's magnificence is expressly revealed, his perfections shining in unimaginable splendor and beauty. Heaven is the place of God's glory." Can you imagine that? We also see that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. This is the opposite of the eternal damnation of those who are without Christ. For they will experience only the pains of death and destruction for all eternity. But in heaven, death will be no more. Sadness will be no more. Pain will be no more. It's impossible for us to imagine this because we live in a world which is so full of death and pain and misery. We can't comprehend what it will be like to never have to bury a loved one again. We can't comprehend what it'll be like to never experience the betrayal of a dear friend again. We can't comprehend what it will be like to run free with a greater vigor than we ever experienced in our youth, with no aches or pains. We can't comprehend it, but dear saints, you will experience it when that day comes and you cross from this world into that which is to come. It will be glorious. It will be made perfect by the full cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, who washes away every effect of sin and utterly destroys it, casting sin itself into the lake of fire. And what will we do for all eternity? Revelation 5 and verse 11 to 13 tells us, "And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" Friends, we will worship Christ, who is the center of it all. That's what we will do for all eternity. We will worship Christ, who is the center of it all. Christ is central in heaven because He reveals God to us, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. In heaven, we will worship God in the full orbed display of His perfections, especially in the glorious person of His Son. Friends, this is what you have to look forward to if you are in Christ. This is the end of salvation. Brothers and sisters, I pray that no one leaves here this day without having committed themselves to Christ Jesus. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the only redeemer of mankind. There is no other religion, no other faith, no other philosophy, no other way of living which will bring you unto salvation at the end of this life. It is Christ Jesus alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Walk in His way, for He will lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Seek after His truth, for it is the only place in which you will find all that is necessary for life and godliness. And find life in Him, for without Him you are but a walking dead man with no hope of being revived. Come unto Christ. Rest in Him alone for salvation. And when you pass from this life into the next, you will reach that great end, which is to dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. Let's pray. O Lord, we come unto Thee and we are thankful for the salvation that Thou hast given us through Thy Son, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. O Lord, let us always cling to Him and seek not after the vain things of this world, for they will never satisfy our souls. Only Christ Jesus will do that. O Lord, let us stand firm upon this gospel truth that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And let us stand upon that against all of the attacks of the evil one, all of the attacks of the world upon our faith. When the world says that we are unloving or unkind for saying that Christ Jesus is the way, let us look them in the face and say, the loving thing is to tell you that Christ is the way so you do not go to hell. Oh Lord, let us be bold in this proclamation that Christ Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, let us not trust in ourselves, for we are weak, feeble creatures. Let us trust in Thee, O Lord, for Thou art the High King of heaven. Thou art the Lord of glory. Thou art the Creator and Sustainer of all things. And Thou art the one who sent Thy Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die, to live the perfect life, and to die the death that we should have died, so that we, through faith in Him, might have salvation. Oh Lord, let us rest in that. For that alone will bring us life. Let us proclaim this gospel truth to the lost and dying world around us. And let us ever seek after Christ. As we walk in His way, seek after His truth, and rest in His life. O Lord, bless the remainder of our time together, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.